afternoons from 2 until 4 o'clock when he hosts Country Boy Rock and Roll. 2 minutes after 4 is the time now, and you're tuned to WHYY-FM in Philadelphia, and this is Fresh Air. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we have All Things Considered from National Public Radio, and tonight on All Things Considered, we'll hear reactions to the verdict in the trial of the accused killers of Polish priest Jerzy Popieluszko. We'll hear from the pro-Solidarity priest parishioners and from Lawrence Weschler, who writes for The New Yorker magazine about Poland. That's coming up at 5 o'clock on tonight's edition of All Things Considered. With me now on Fresh Air is rock and roll songwriter, singer, and guitarist Jonathan Richman. He's the only rock and roller I know of who writes songs like Hey There Little Insect, Ice Cream Man, Rockin' Shoppin' Center, and Abominable Snowman in the Market. These good-natured but rocking songs almost sound as if they could be written or performed for children. In fact, one of his recent songs is written from the perspective of a 3-year-old who doesn't want to take a nap.
You mean a 2-year-old?
A 2-year-old. Not quite 3.
That's right.
And I don't think that this temperament always dominated Richman's songs. We'll find out for sure a little later when I speak with him. But his first album, which featured several tracks that were produced by John Cale in 1971 and was considered a forerunner of new wave music, contained several songs with more abrasive lyrics. Most of those songs Richman doesn't perform anymore. Jonathan Richman calls his band the Modern Lovers, and there's been several different Modern Lovers bands. One former Modern Lover, Jerry Harrison, is a member of Talking Heads. Another, Dee Sharp, has played with jazz composer Carla Bley. Jonathan Richman will perform solo tonight at the Chestnut Cabaret. The doors open at 8. For more information, you can call 382-1201. And the Chestnut Cabaret is at 3801 Chestnut Street. Now, I want you to hear a couple of his records before we meet him. So let's listen to two. And the first is from 1977. It's called Rockin' Rockin' Leprechaun. The other is from his most recent album, Jonathan Sings, and it's called This Kind of Music.
Hey, what's that out there in the park?
Well, I'll tell you what that is. I think it's this.
In the park, nearly dark, what do I now hear, hark, hark? Is it really leprechauns, and have they come back to rock and roll? Yes, it's them there on the lawn, it's been so long since they've been gone. But Mother Nature's leprechauns have come back to rock and roll. Da 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 da. And rolling, and they're wobbling and wiggling, and they're fumbling and giggling, but they're here to rock and roll.
Well, they don't need much, you know. Somebody just do a wiggle, maybe. And somebody keep time, too. That's all they need to dance. Or maybe they take their hips and shake 'em.
Shake 'em.
Right. Yeah. Some guy maybe plays like a broken bongo drum or something. And that's all they need to dance.
1, 2, 3.
When it smells like rain and the clouds are black, my raggy t-shirt be on my back. I wanna walk my bike to dig the rockin' gang. I wanna hear that groove, I wanna feel that twang. Well, that cheap guitar, man, it's sounding thin. That saxophone sounds like the cat dragged it in. But I want it in my life, cause this kind of music is the kind I like. But when it smells like rain and the clouds are gray. My raggy t-shirt been thrown away. I wanna walk my bike to dig the rockin' band. Wanna kick my kickstand in the sand. That cheap guitar is sounding bad. That saxophone's worse than the last one he had. But I want it in my life. This kind of music is the kind I like. Well, when you're dancing with just singing, I like that. So I left my guitar in the laundromat. This is what I like, I say I think it's great. That way you won't get bored if your bus is late. That guy's playing drums on a cartape file. I left my guitar in the laundry pile. I want it in my life. This kind of music, now that's the kind I like. Well, when you're dancing with just nothing, I like that. So I left my shirt in the laundromat. Now this is what I like, I think it's great. That way you don't get bored if your bus is late. Well, the guy's playing drums on a cartape file. I left my shirt in the laundry pile. And I want it in my life, 'cause this kind of music is the kind I like. I said that I want it in my life. This kind of music is the kind that I like.
That was Jonathan Richman.
Hello,
Modern
everyone.
Lovers. And he'll perform tonight at the Chestnut Cabaret at 3801 Chestnut Street. Boy, it's great to meet you. Welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you, Tara.
Well, I made a statement earlier. Let's see how true it is. I said that I didn't think you were always singing songs with the kind of temperament of the last two songs that we heard, that really like good-natured temperament. Where you're, because I remember a couple of songs from your first album that
my first album, incidentally, was Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers. That was my first album. That had songs like New England on it. That was my first album, and Important in Your Life, and Amazing Grace, and Springtime.
Right. So the one I heard was actually came out a little later, but
and it was
a collection
of
earlier,
much earlier, and it was just a collection. It was not an album. It was a collection of demonstration tapes.
Well, so have you always been writing good-natured songs like that?
Well, even on my right up to now, sometimes I can be all different kinds of natured, you know? Like, there's many kinds of moods right on the, you know, right on the albums that say this kind of music is on. But I've been happier than I used to be. You know, that's true.
Is that because of something that's happened in your life?
Not just one thing, everything.
When you first started playing songs for your band, you know, like I'm a Little Dinosaur, were they a little taken aback?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the playing first, things like that?
Well, back when I first started playing things like Hey There, Little Insect and Government Center, people just shook their heads and say, forget, you know, like they weren't thrilled. Then I remember the time I brought I'm a Little Dinosaur to a later band of mine. I can remember Curly shaking his head. he thought it was kind of funny, but I don't know whether he ever got to like I'm a Little Dinosaur.
Did they think that maybe you'd flipped or something?
No, they knew me. They just knew that they didn't like it.
So what'd you do? I'll tell them they could leave if they didn't
want to
play it?
No, there was no need for trouble. No, just because they didn't like it didn't mean they wouldn't play it. I had to sing it as far as they were concerned. You know, they didn't care really. Because there were a lot of things I did that if they didn't like the music enough, eventually they would have left.
Some of the songs they have to sing on too, either a chorus or to sing a chorus.
That's right.
Lyrics.
I don't think it wasn't. It was nothing bad. When I say they didn't like it, I mean, we're not talking about violent arguments. We're just talking about they thought it was like a dumb song, you know. And it was. But I don't care. I liked them.
Do you have children in mind when you write songs like that?
Well, I play for kids a lot. I have for years. Mainly, though, I have everyone in mind. The thing I don't do, you see, I don't think it's that I make songs with children in mind so much as that I don't make up songs with adults in mind, usually. That's what I think makes me different. See, my songs that you could say are children's songs are really just plain songs to me. Other songs I have, which I like, say Affection, for example, which other songs of mine, those I don't sing when I sing for kids. I'd sing them more for adults. I still like the song a lot. I love it. But there are songs that I have which you'd say are adult songs.
What kind of songs did you get played when you were a kid? Did you have a little record player with like lots of little red
Riding
Hood
Rogers
type
records? Yeah, Roy
Rogers
records and things like that. But the things that really killed me were not always just what I heard on the records. You know, like, I would hear things like the William Tell Overture, things like, and Spanish stuff with... I always had this kind of... When I saw Zorro, the theme song for Zorro.
Oh,
do you remember that with violins?
Mm-hmm.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da with those trumpets. And that kind of stuff would just really kill me, you know? And I still love that kind of stuff. I still... Whenever that I see on... They have these Disney... Sometimes will show old Zorro. When I hear that kind of music, it does the same thing to me now.
When you play for kids, how do you get the audience with them? Do you go to schools or what?
I just talk to them. Yeah, I'll just call up schools. I'll say I'll play for free. Sometimes it's hard to give away your talent to play free. You know, they'd rather not go through the bookwork. They'd rather keep to their program. But I've done this. I played daycare center. And sometimes I just, you know, sometimes at parties I'm asked to play. I just like to.
I bet they have a really different reaction than your rock and roll adult or teenage fans.
Yeah, except the thing is, they're much more rock and roll. They just dance much more. They're the ones who are the rock and roll ones. Yeah, a lot of the time.
I'd like our listeners to hear an example of the kind of song we're talking about. So why don't we play Ice Cream Man?
Okay, that's my idea of a just plain song.
Okay.
Sure, but like I say, most of them are.
Okay, let me point out that we're going to skip a record here and come back to one a little later. We're going to play Ice Cream Man here with Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers. Do you want to say anything about writing this? You can say that there's a lot of rock and roll songs about ice cream or ice cream men or ice cream trucks.
No, I just make up songs about what I remember, so... This is the kind of thing that moved me, so that's what I make a song about.
Let's hear it.
Hi there, everybody. We're the Modern Lovers. We're going to sing about the Ice Cream Man for you. Well, now,
Ice Cream Man.
Upon my street, I heard your truck outside. It's really neat.
Ice Cream Man.
Upon my block, your little chimes, they reel and they rock.
Ice Cream Man,
ring your bell,
ding, ding.
Play the music I've learned to love so well.
Ice Cream Man,
ring your chimes,
ding, ding.
In the afternoon so fine.
Ice Cream Man,
upon my street, I heard your truck today. Any Ice Cream Man, upon my block now. Your chimes,
they
reel and rock. Now
Ice Cream Man,
upon my street, your little truck noise. I heard your chimes, I know they reel and they run.
One more time.
Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers, and that was Ice Cream Man. That's a really great recording. You were telling me while we were listening about the drum kit that you had D Sharp, the drummer, create for when you were playing
together. That's right. He made up that kind of a drum kit. I asked him to, if he would use a drum kit that would be such a way that he could hit it real hard and still have it not be louder than a voices without a microphone.
Is it important to you to have the band quiet so that you don't have to either use a microphone or strain your voice to sing?
Well, I don't strain my voice much anyway. The reason is, it's what is important to me is I don't like hearing the other things come through speakers. For example, when a lot of bands, when almost every band on earth now sings harmony, they don't hear it. They hear the voice coming through a speaker. That is just, to me, a boring way to make music. I like it best when the other people are close enough to me and playing at a low enough volume so that I can actually hear them sing. You know, it's the way all music was until about 1950. Like, if you heard the Mills Brothers or something, you would be hearing them. They didn't have any much equipment. They just had everyone around a microphone. It's just more my speed. It's not always, you can't always do it nowadays. They've changed things. But, that's why. I just don't like it when you need microphones.
Do you like the Mills Brothers recordings?
Sure. I mean, I love, in fact, that's what I like, the way they were done. It sounds real. It sounds like people singing.
Do you ever feel hopelessly out of step performing the kinds of songs that you do at a time when rock music is really dominated by people singing either like angry lyrics or really sexually more explicit lyrics with really elaborate costuming and almost Vegas-styled showbiz shows? And it seems that the more you perform, the more you kind of strip away certain elements of it and get it more and more to the basics or more and more minimal.
Well, the question is, do I feel out of step?
Mm-hmm.
And no, because they're doing what they're doing. You see, I'm not trying to do what some of the folks are doing.
Let's talk about the session that you did in 71 that John Cale produced.
He did not produce all of.
What were the circumstances behind that?
Okay, let's suppose you've got a rock group together, Terry, and there are record labels interested in you, and you can't decide which one you want to sign with. And they tell you, look, Terry, we like what you're doing. We're going to show you how we can make you sound. Then another label says, no, wait a minute. If they're going to get a chance, let us show you how our studios can make you sound. So you show up and you try out songs in each of their studios. That's what those were. So you wouldn't be necessarily trying to do them your best because they're trying to make you, this is a demonstration. You want to see how the things are sounding. So if you have a hoarse voice that day or something and, so that's what those were. Those were a collection of the studios mostly demonstrating. One of them actually was different. This song, Hospital, which an old song which was actually done the earliest, was actually us trying to do a demonstration record for them.
One of the songs on that session, You Won't Perform Anymore, it's called Pablo Picasso, and it has one word in it which I won't mention on the air, which isn't a four-letter word, but it's a word that some people might object to otherwise.
Yeah,
I'd
perform
it.
I don't care. I still like the song.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that I don't perform hardly any of those. I don't perform songs, that are much more recent. Like what we were talking about, me and you before, is how I feel. Like you got a lot of kids in an audience that are, how can I put it? They have a certain idea of they want to be rebellious, and so they like it when guys curse. An easy way to have an audience in the palm of your hand is to use curse words on a stage. And so one of the reasons I never liked doing that song after a while, even way back in 73, was just because it was so boring having these kids be that easy. In other words, you know what I mean? They were too easy for me. I don't like winning over an audience in a dumb way like that. They can go hear other bands if they want to be rebellious like that.
Yeah, well, rock and roll has always had this function of a musical rebellion.
Has it?
Well, I think especially, a lot in the 1950s for teenagers, because parents traditionally hated that music.
For teenagers it did, but
not
for
the people performing it, yeah.
Fats Domino, who was he rebelling against?
That's right.
And no, you see, that's what I don't go for. That's what I'm not part of, and that's why a lot of people don't understand what I'm into. Like, if they want to hear the boys be rebellious like that, see, because I have nothing to rebel against, you know? And if the audience does, they're in the wrong show, because I'm not even fighting that battle. I can use four-letter words anytime I want to. You know, right now I could if I felt like it. I don't feel constrained. If they want to break out of that battle, go down the block, you know?
Did your parents ever get upset that you were playing rock and roll in the house? I mean, did that ever symbolize anything distasteful to them?
No, don't you get it? That's why I never got into that. You see, I never... No, my parents encouraged me. My father bought my first electric guitar, my first two electric guitars. They helped me. They didn't always like what I was doing, but they respected me. So maybe that's why I never got into all this kind of stuff. I really didn't care. I just knew I could make any kind of music I wanted to. I wasn't angry, really. Early on, I was lonely. I mean, I often hear this stuff, Jonathan Richman, you know, angry, this and that. But I was never really that angry. If I was angry at anyone, I was angry at my friends for turning into hippies back in 1970. That was about the only thing that actually made me mad, because people started acting all alike, pretending to be rebellious, you know.
Why did the hippies bother you?
Because they were acting just as much the same as all the other people were.
What were you doing then?
Acting like myself.
Did you go through like a folk rock or an acid rock or a topical song period in your musical development?
No. Mostly, not really, no.
Now, I want to get back for a second to the session that's on the album called Modern Lovers, but...
Then that isn't a session, it's a collection of stuff.
It's a collection, right, okay.
And it's not an album.
And it's not, right. Okay,
I sound proud of it, don't I?
I know that you're not wild about this record. I happen to really like it a lot.
I don't know. Hospital's real good. Pablo Picasso turned out great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just yesterday's papers to me more than anything else.
Well, I'm going to play Roadrunner, which has...
It's okay. I can stand it.
Okay. And this is a song that I think... actually, have other groups recorded this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have. Actually, I can't even think of them offhand, but people
right.
aren't sure if they have.
Yeah, because it's a song that I know a lot of people... know you for. Do you want to say
the one I'm most known for though, around the world by far though is off the album we just played, Egyptian Reggae. That's the one I'm most known for.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to say anything about writing Roadrunner?
Yeah. I never thought anyone would like it. I made it up because I was trying to describe this lonely feeling. It's not really a song. It's like chords with words on top. That's all right. It's just, you know, a different style of music there. And I was trying to get this beat that I was trying to take from the Velvet Underground, who had a tune called Sister Ray. Well, I couldn't get it quite right. And there was also Big Brother and the Holding Company had a riff in one of their songs. I wish I could remember the name of the song. But that was that D-D-A. That actually comes from Big Brother and the Holding Company. And so I had this sad, lonely kind of talking blues that I was trying to make up. And I was saying to myself, boy... I like this, but I don't think anyone else is ever going to.
Well, not correct.
Wrong.
Well, let's hear it. This is Roadrunner, performed by Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
twice. I'm in love with rock and roll, and I'll be out all night rolling up. That's right.
Roadrunner Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers. Do you do that a lot? Drive around now with the radio on?
Never, just about.
Because I know you must be traveling a lot cross country all the time. But
yeah,
public transportation.
Yeah, trains, trailways, Greyhound.
I should mention that Jonathan Richman's in town to perform tonight at the Chestnut Cabaret, and the doors open at 8, and they're at 38th and Chestnut Streets. Do you listen to much music now?
I listen to music all the time.
What have you been listening to lately?
Stuff from South America,
really?
Like Peruvian, Ecuadorian. I listened to some. Actually, I listen to music from everywhere. I just heard this great Ethiopian music last night. I was down in D.C., and I was in this Ethiopian restaurant, and they just happened to have the TV on some show with different Ethiopian stuff. It was killing me. I like. A lot of different styles, African stuff. I listen to American Indian drumming. Like, whenever I can, I check out powwows to hear the different, see the different dancers and different, like, dance contests and things.
When did you start listening to rock and roll? Did you find it yourself, or did you have any older brothers and sisters who played you the records?
I had a girl that I had a crush on, and she and her girlfriend would be there with the transistor radio on there, and I would want to find out what was going on. Well, you know, they were always talking about these songs. Well, if they were interested in this stuff, I wanted to. And that was it. 11 years old, and I was hooked.
Do you remember what you heard that you liked
bet.
So much?
The Locomotion by Little Eva. I heard...
I remember that cover with her wearing like a ruffled red midriff blouse standing on top
tied
of a train.
Waist.
Yeah, that's right.
Sure, and
what else?
Orlans.
Mm-hmm.
The Four Seasons with Sherry, like Dion, Diane was on the radio, that song at that time, Summer 62. All those things, they killed me.
Did you know then that you wanted to play?
No, I just knew that I loved to dance.
You danced, huh?
Yeah, I still do. I just knew that I loved, I knew that this was for me.
So when did you get your first instrument?
When I was about 15. My father had one. He said, look, I got this cruddy guitar in the back room. You want it? I said, sure. Put strings on it, and I never stopped playing it.
Could you figure out what to do right away? Some people go through this real initial period of frustration because they
can't. No, not me. I just wanted to make noise, and noise I made. no frustration for me. It was great. This was for me. I just started bashing away at this. I didn't care if I played chords or not. I just wanted to make a whole bunch of noise, and I achieved victory.
And did you form a band shortly after?
No, I played alone from ages 16 to 19, and I moved to New York when I was 18, and I just played alone. And then I decided after I left New York, I took a trip to Europe. I just wanted to go. My parents said, "We'll help you pay for it." They didn't say, "We'll help you." They said, "We'll pay for it." Do I sound embarrassed to say that now? I am. Anyway, why should I
be? Why should you be embarrassed about that?
I don't know. I am. It doesn't sound... I like things sometimes more when you have to make your own way yourself more. At that time, I didn't. They said... And I said, "Okay. Great, thanks." So I went for about 3 weeks, just in Israel alone for 3 weeks. I went to Italy. I went to France a little. And in Israel, I decided I want to put a band together. It just hit me. And so I did. I moved back to Boston because I figured I'd have a better chance there.
And how did you find them? Through the newspaper or through people you knew?
Well, my next door neighbor was the first one, John Felice. He was my guitar player, I decided. So he and me played guitars, and we needed a bass player and a drummer. And I put up notices for a drummer, and before I got through writing out the first 3x5 card, the guy behind the counter was David Robinson and tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Have you ever thought of having a drummer?" And I just showed him the 3x5 card and I said, "Now's your chance." And he found a bass player, Rolf Anderson, and that was the Modern Lovers.
And what were the songs you were playing then?
Roadrunner was one of them. Hospital was one of them. All different kinds of songs.
So you started your own band playing your own songs before you'd been in a band that played Beatles hits at bar mitzvahs.
Right. I played alto saxophone, but no one wanted an alto sax player. I tried to get in bands when I was a kid, like 15, 16, 14. Yeah.
No one is that because they thought you weren't good enough or no one wanted an alto?
Well, they didn't even try. No one needed an alto sax player. In fact, in most bands, saxophone was being phased out anyway. If you played organ, then you had more of a chance of getting in a band. It was the sound of 66 just didn't use saxes that much. You know, if you, like the Animals were, you know, what you wanted to sound like.
Did you ever go to college or anything like that?
No.
Did you worry that, you know, if you never made it as a performer, that you'd have no career to fall back on?
No, I never thought like that.
Were you pressured to think like that, though?
A little. It didn't matter, you know.
What do you think you'd do, paint houses or...
Yeah, I still do stuff whenever I need to do.
Do you still need to do stuff
sure,
like that?
Sure, sometimes. Mm-hmm. Not lately, but several months ago. And I might need to again any minute. Sure.
I guess you've never really done anything to try to make your music really saleable, so to speak, to...
Well, the records, I try and make them so... A lot of people will like them. Of course, I only go so far, you know. I don't, you know.
Are there things you've been asked to do by record companies that you don't want to do because you know it's not you, but they think, oh, we've got this great way to package him?
No. There have been ways of making records that I've tried and, you know, sometimes... You see, recording and me are funny together. Sometimes I'll do records that are done all live in the studio, which is the most natural way for me to do anything. But then sometimes, because it's a record, it doesn't work out the way I wanted to for other reasons. For example, since there's no audience there, then sometimes things get stale because I'm a one-take Johnny. you turn on the mic, the first one is almost always my take. But sometimes the band isn't warmed up. So the fact that we did it live in a studio makes things rougher and not easier sometimes. So recording, I just try and do it any way I can. Sometimes it works best to do everything live. Sometimes it works best when I sing after the band has done their thing. We just take each song. Recording still is such a confusing mystery to me. I just got a new album that's coming out on Rough Trade Records in March,
really?
Too.
Oh, really? Great.
Yeah, in another month from now.
What's it going to be called?
I think we'll call it Rockin' and Romance with Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers.
Why don't we hear something from your recent album from, I guess it's 83 or 84.
Yeah, 82, actually.
Oh, close enough.
Yeah.
And it's called Jonathan Sings.
Yeah.
Do you want to say anything about putting this together? Because you're the backup voices on this. There's a couple of women on it. And
sure, they
this record was the first time I'd heard you sing with women doing backup voices.
Yeah, I've had female backup singers for the last 4 years.
Has that changed what you're doing in any way?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Just goes with my voice.
Okay, this song's called Give Paris One More Chance. I think of it as almost being a genre song because there's so many songs that tribute Paris.
Yeah, this one doesn't, if you listen close, this one is half and half on the subject, you know. It's not your straight tribute song. As I say, there are some things I don't like and some things I do.
You want to say anything else about it?
It speaks for itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Must have done something right to get passion this way. If you don't think Paris was made for love, give Paris one more chance. Well, now I'm calling it arrogant, calling it cruel.
Give Paris one
more
chance.
Yeah, and also, trop civilisé, et mon Dieu, c'est trop cool.
Give Paris one more chance.
But if you don't think Paris made for love, maybe your heart needs a telegram from up above. If you don't think Paris was made for love, we'll give Paris one more chance. Well, now there's some things I don't like and some things I do, but give Paris one more chance. I can see why Paris would be ugly for you, but give Paris one more chance. And Trene too, must have done something right, must have something for you. If you don't think Paris was made for love, give Paris one more chance, okay? Now you're the boys singing Bee Gees songs under the skies.
Give Paris one more chance.
And on the steps of Montmartre they harmonize.
Give Paris one more chance.
Cause if you don't think Paris made for love, maybe your heart needs a telegram from up above. If you don't think Paris was made for love, give Paris one more chance. Let's wrap it up. Yeah.
Well, well, well.
Well, if you've been to cities, but you've had enough.
Paris.
Have
give
you
Paris
been to Paris, France? And if you doubt
give
that Paris was made
give
for
Paris
love,
give Paris one more chance.
The home of Piaf and Charles Aznavour, must have done something right and she'll do something more. If you don't think Paris was made for love, give Paris one more chance. All right,
give Paris one more chance.
From the album Jonathan Sings, that was Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers. Jonathan Richman's my guest in the studio, and he's in Philadelphia to perform tonight at the Chestnut Cabaret. Do you like Chevalier and Aznavour and Piaf, who you mentioned in that song?
If I didn't, that would be a pretty insincere piece of music, wouldn't you say?
Well, I suppose. Yeah. Are there any songwriters whose lyrics you especially admire?
Yeah. John Sebastian.
Really?
Yes.
Anyone else you can think of?
Give me a minute. Maybe we should come back.
We'll come back to it. Okay.
But John Sebastian is about the best I can think of right offhand.
I always thought of your music.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah. Chuck Berry. Chuck Berry's magnificent with lyrics.
I thought of your music when I first heard it as being either part of or foreshadowing a new wave. Did you feel a part of that at all?
No. There was none. Back when that word wasn't there, when I started doing stuff, you know.
What'd you think of punk and new wave when it started to become a kind of definable style? And what'd you think of the bands who were first playing it? Did you feel any? Were you interested in that at all?
Not really.
Your voice sounds really influenced by someone like Lou Reed. Did you listen to him a lot? Because certainly strikes me your sensibility and what you're aiming for is really different in a lot of ways.
Well, so what's the question?
Oh, okay. The question is, have you listened to him a lot? Is his style of interest to you? And
I listen.
Do you
to
indeed
the,
feel influenced by him?
I listened to the Velvet Underground a lot when I was growing up. That was his old group, for anyone in the audience who doesn't know. What they did influenced me a whole lot.
And you sure changed from what they were doing.
But so did they. There was a whole lot of theys. They would do things one year which would be much different from the sound they got another year.
There's a lot of drugs and stuff in rock. Has it been easy for you to stay away from
Very
that?
Very easy. Partly hanging around with the Velvet Underground was the best thing I could have done. They knew all about it. If I had any questions about whether I was missing anything, I knew who to talk to. So, you know, I was never really that interested because I could ask people who would, tried things out. And it never was my speed too much.
So the people in the Velvets warned you away from it?
No, they didn't warn me away. No. We just would have discussions about stuff. Also, I could just see things going on. I just wasn't that interested anyway. It wasn't so that I had this big, well, should I? No, you better not. I really didn't. It was more like, well, does anyone think I'm missing anything? And people would say, no. I'd say, I didn't think so, thank you. You know, it was more like that. You know, I never really tried any of that stuff much.
It was never considered unhip to stay away?
I didn't care.
Uh-huh.
Especially, I mean, when you get people who know about it, those aren't the people who go talking about hip and unhip. The only people who talk about hip and unhip are people who are insecure.
How did you first make their acquaintance well enough so that you can hang around with them?
What a long story. It was fate. It was nothing by chance. It was, I just ran into them in such a way. Like, it's such a long story, but it involves being in the right place at the right time and knowing people, you know, who worked with them, but not knowing that these people worked with them when I met them.
What was the right place to be in at the right time?
It was in a little clothing store in Harvard Square in Cambridge.
And did you perform with them? Or, I mean,
no.
did you play with them? Did you feel like a hanger-on or anything?
I was an obnoxious hanger-on at that. I was the 16-year-old kid who was always around there hanging around.
So this is before you'd even played with a band?
You bet.
Did they ever try to get rid of you?
Probably. I wouldn't have blamed them if they did. Sure. But they liked me too, because whatever faults I had, I was at least honest. So, you know, obnoxious but honest.
Did you ask them questions about music all the time, or just
want
to, like, be with them?
Obnoxious. I asked them questions about everything. But I was lovable.
Do you have anyone who does that with you now?
Well, I meet people who ask me about all kinds of different things. I try and steer them away from being you don't need to ask a lot of the stuff I asked. I actually learned the most from not what I asked, but from just what I saw. So I try and steer people in that direction.
So you basically tell them to get lost.
No, I don't.
No, they hang around, but you...
I just, there's no need to ask too many questions. I don't tell people to get lost, usually.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to play another record of yours, and this is called New England, and it's a tribute to the place that you were born, in which you don't live anymore. Why did you leave New England for California?
Because I wanted, me and Gail wanted to be a place For her, she liked the warmer weather. She grew up in New England, too. She grew up in Vermont, and she'd had enough. And I wanted to be near the desert a lot, and I wanted to sometimes people don't travel for about 6 or 7 months of the year up in a lot of places up north in New England because the temperature is so cold. People a lot of times just stay inside, and they won't, you know, so we wanted a place where there'd be more kids for Jason to play with. And I also, and we didn't want to be in Boston.
Well, there you go. Okay. Let's hear New England. Want to say anything about writing this?
It speaks for itself.
Okay.
See, I come from Boston. I'm going to tell you all about how I love New England. It's my favorite place. You know, I've been all around the world, but I love New England best. I might be prejudiced, but it's true. I love New England best. Well, now, give me a D, maestro. That's pretty good. Give me another one, though, without him. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I've already been to Paris, I've already been to Rome. And what did I do but miss my home? I have been out west to California, but I miss the land where I was born. I can't help it, dum de dum de dum de dum de dum day. New England, dum de dum de dum 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 day. Oh, New England, ride a wild man. I have seen old Israel's arid plain. It's magnificent, but so's Maine. I'm talking dum de dum de dum 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 day. New England, dum de dum de dum 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 day. Oh, New England, right away. Oh, one more time of this way. Dum de dum de dum dum day. Oh, New England. Dum de dum de dum 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 day. Oh, New England. Go. Dum de dum de dum 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 day. Oh, I love New England. Dum de dum de dum 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 day.
That was New England, Jonathan Richman, and the Modern Lovers. And Jonathan Richman is my guest. He'll be performing tonight in Philadelphia. You're telling me that you think your singing style's evolving, that it's changing a little bit.
I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
I would say I'm learning to sing.
Uh-huh.
Just because I can. I used to talk when I started out, mostly. So that was what I started out my career as, a guy who talks over guitar. And slowly I've been singing.
Have you taken lessons or anything like
not
that?
Not in the past 10 years, no.
So it's just that you practice at home a lot?
No, I don't practice. I just sing when I do a show.
Uh-huh. Okay. You have a bunch of songs that are about supermarkets and shopping malls and things like that. Do you have strong feelings about about modern shopping?
What do you mean?
Well, it just interested me that you have, like, the Abominable Snowman in the Market and Rockin' Shopping Center. I figured you must, like, really enjoy or really hate the experience of being in large stores.
Well, let's see. Both those songs are 10 years old.
Oh.
Like, but I don't feel much different, really, I guess, from how I've, like, see, but Abominable Snowman was just supposed to be funny because I was playing for kids. But there weren't enough funny songs for them. So I figured I'd better make one up. So I did. And Rocket Shopping Center isn't about shopping, really. It's about what it's It's just about how everything's different all across the United States, how like every little place you go, you can kind of feel like you're in the Midwest, or you can kind of feel, no, this is a kind of, this kind of place is the kind they build back in New England.
Do you ever feel betrayed by rock and roll? Because you were saying that when you started listening to it, for the people listening, it might have been a rebellious music, but for the people making it, they had, you know, a lot of them had, like Fats Domino, what was he rebelling against? But
for all this, I know, he was. I don't even know really know. I just
but a lot of the music now has become really postured and kind of show busy. Do you feel that?
Wasn't things show busy back then?
Well, it depends who you look at, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. No, I don't feel betrayed by anything because I don't have to listen to anything. See, how can I feel betrayed when I have the privilege of turning on my radio or turning it off? You know? No. I mean, you know, even what's rock and roll? That's a matter of opinion. Some people call X rock and roll. Some people call Y rock and roll. So, you know? No, people can make any kind of music they want. Doesn't bother me a bit.
Do you go to hear much of it?
No.
Why not? Because of time or lack of interest?
No, I got loads of time. I just hear what I want to hear.
And what's that now?
Like I say, all kinds of things. I mean, I go hear people once in a while, you know.
One of the former Modern Lovers, Jerry Harrison, is playing with Talking Heads now. Are you still in touch? And
I see Jerry every once in a while.
Would you like to have the kind of, I guess, fame that band has since achieved? Does that interest you?
Oh, maybe, sure. Like, I don't know, because I don't know where they're famous and where they're not. I mean, do Marty Robbins fans know who they are? You know what I mean? Have they achieved? I mean, I'm not asking I'm asking a simple question. I don't know what kind of fame they have. So I don't really know whether I'd want it or not. I'd have to know where they're playing and what kind of, I mean, I don't like to play a lot of venues that a lot of people are playing. Like, some of the places are too big from what I enjoy playing anyway. So what they have might not be my style, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to see.
What do you like in a club?
Well, I like to play places, I don't really like to play a lot of movie theaters where you could have popcorn and stuff, and I like to play where all ages can come is my favorite. I like to play outdoors. I'd like to play, not big outdoor festivals, though. I'd like to play little outdoor dances, you know, for about a couple of hundred people, and maybe not play just one-nighters. I'd like to play maybe, suppose in the summer I were to play out in somewhere just outside of Philadelphia. Suppose there was some little old dance hall, some old Elks Lodge that they could revamp for a show, and you bring in, you know, 400 people a night, but you do it, say, for a solid week. I'd like to, if I was going to have things my way, you know, I like kind of when I hear the stories about the big bands in the 40s and stuff, the way they used to play it a week here and a week there. I like that. A floor show, a review, that would be fun.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah.
Have like some dancers in it and...
Yeah, I'd like to do stuff like that.
Okay. Well, listen, thanks a lot for talking with us. I'm glad
sure.
You're able to come.
Okay, Tara.
And my guest has been Jonathan Richmond, who will be performing a solo concert tonight at the Chestnut Cabaret, which is at 3801 Chestnut Street in West Philadelphia. I have a phone number here if you want to call for more information. It's 382-1201. That's 382-1201. And the Chestnut Cabaret is at 3801 Chestnut Street. Jonathan Richmond's living in California now. He's originally from Boston?
The suburbs of Boston.
Suburbs
yeah.
of Boston, okay.
Yeah.
And he has a record coming out probably next month on the Rough Trade record label, and it's called...
Well, let me see. I think the title is Rockin' and Romance, Jonathan Richmond and the Modern Lovers.
Okay, and his most recent album before that is called Jonathan Sings, and it's on the Sire record.
And now it's on
label.
Rough Trade, too.
Oh, that really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks a lot for being here. Hope your travels go well.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. It's 3 minutes to 5 o'clock, and we'll be joining National Public Radio at 5 for tonight's edition of All Things Considered. And I'll tell you what's happening tomorrow afternoon on Fresh Air after we check in with Shadow Traffic.
About a 3-mile backup for folks northbound on 202 from Devon through the Schuylkill Expressway, 10 to 20 miles per hour. And our major problem area is westbound on the Schuylkill Expressway, approaching the Gulf Mills off-ramp through 202, 0 to 10 miles per hour. A 4-mile backup, about a 1-hour delay. At this point, Pennsylvania State Police have blocked the westbound Gulf Mills on-ramp. The problem is that the westbound ramp to the southbound 202, they have put some construction barrels out there on the side. This is causing difficulty for folks who are trying to merge there. Your alternate would be to exit at Gulf Mills, take Gulf Road through 202. And that's shadow traffic for WHYY 91 FM. I'm Priscilla Fox.
The shadow traffic report was funded by Waterford Apartments. Tomorrow afternoon on Fresh Air at 3 o'clock, we'll be joined by jazz guitarist Pat Martino. At 4 o'clock, we'll feature an interview with Black historian Alan Ballard, whose book, One More Day's Journey, combines a memoir of his grandfather's move from South Carolina to Philadelphia in 1917, with the history of the great migration of blacks from the South to the North in the 1920s. And that migration is the subject of a series that will be beginning this Monday at 4:25. The series is produced by Charles Hardy. It's called Going North, Tales of the Great Migration. And for that series, he interviewed many Philadelphians who made that journey from the South to the North. So that's Mondays at 4:25 for 5 weeks, beginning this coming Monday. And this Sunday at noon on the Best of Fresh Air, we'll feature an interview with folk singer Pete Seeger. Well, that's about it for this afternoon's edition. Bob Carlin contributed to the program, Joyce Lieberman, the technical director. Maeve McGoran is the associate producer of Fresh Air. Danny Miller co-produces the show. My name's Terry Gross. Thanks for listening. Hope you have a very good evening.